Radio, an ICE agent arrested on drug charges following a chase near Casa Grande.
The pursuit was on rural roads and some desert roads as well. It ended south of Sacaton next to a canal where the suspect flipped his car and landed on the roof.
Customs and Border Protection seizes over $12 million worth of narcotics in the past week, including a ton of marijuana and charcoal.
About 4 or 5 months ago, we've seen several of these type of loads, and we just now starting to see them again.
A Phoenix soldier killed in Afghanistan, 25-year-old specialist Michael Elm, is the latest to die. $11,000 reward offered now in connection with the disappearance of Jesse Shockley in Glendale last week.
We're combing over evidence, putting new sets of eyes on evidence.
The jury now has the case of accused baseline killer Mark Godot.
But do not surrender your honest convictions as to the weight or effect of evidence solely because of the opinion of your fellow jurors.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Garmin. Look for a collision, 43rd Avenue, just south of I-10. Also, we do have a wreck, 59th Avenue, south of the 101. And look for that huge structure fire, Higley Road, south of Broadway. Reimagined, redesigned, ready to move you. Check out the all-new 2012 Garmin Nuvo Personal Navigators at Garmin.com. That's Garmin.com. Follow the leader with Garmin. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, pressing toward the weekend and some cooler weather. Mid-90s again for tomorrow, but then Friday into the weekend, we're low 90s. Overnight lows, mid-50s outlying areas, mid-60s here in town, sunny and dry. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:05 currently in Midtown. We're at 96 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's a great show, Legal Ease, with your host, Dennis Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Jed Reynolds, and you're up to date.
I am Professor Nathaniel Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? To save money on auto insurance, you must forego an agent and go it alone. Solo. Wits against the world. No compass. The answer is false. A Farmers agent is trained by me to save you money.
Call a Farmers agent to see how you can save on auto insurance. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Get to know a Farmers agent, call 800-FARMERS or visit farmers.com, because ready feels good.
This news report is sponsored by the Arizona Lottery. You're officially on jackpot alert. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is at $124 million. Get your ticket at your nearest Arizona Lottery retailer now. Simple Green, the original green cleaner, presents the green tip of the week. This week's tip, make a change. Try to carpool or take public transportation to work, school, or shopping just one day per week. Or try riding your bike one day. You'll save money, fuel, and get some exercise. That's this week's Green Tip of the Week. Visit our website at simplegreen.com.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
This is Legal Ease, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, good afternoon. And again, it's a little bit after 4:05, about 4:06. This is Dennis Willinchek on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And we're here with you every week, every Wednesday, talking about different topics, some of which hopefully have something to do with the law in some way. And, of course, one of the things that always has to do with the law are politicians who make the laws. So this week, we're pleased to have on our show Matt Salmon, who is with us by phone because he's heading to a function, and he was nice enough to take some time with us. Matt was first elected to the United States Congress in 1994 and served until 2000 when he resigned, honoring his term pledge limit, which is something that most politicians say but never do. So you have to give him a lot of credit for that, and he was rated in the top five among all 535 members of the House and Senate by Citizens Against Government Waste for all 6 years he was in Congress. He's a lifetime member of the NRA. He has an A-plus rating and has also earned a 100% rating by the National Right to Life Association and is a proud recipient of the American Cancer Society's top national elected official award. Matt is running for Congress now. We'll be talking about that with him for the half hour, and has received endorsements from a lot of influential people. So, Matt, are you on the line with us now?
I am on the line, Dennis. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, we're pleased to have you and think you are a great guy and will do a great job, hopefully, if you get back into office. And tell us about that. First of all, why are you running for office, and what are you running for?
Well, I'm running for the congressional seat that I actually used to represent. When I left Congress, I basically came and decided to live under the laws that we passed, and I never had any intention to run again for Congress. I just got frightened. I mean, like most Americans right now, they're sick and tired of what's going on. I mean, it's going crazy with the federal government. The spending is out of control, and nobody seems to be willing to do anything about it. And so I figured that if I better put up or shut up. Mm-hmm. I've been complaining for a long time and about ready to throw my shoe at the TV every time the president gets on.
Yeah.
And I figured, you know what, it's time for me to get back into this mess and do everything I can to try to get some sanity back again.
Well, that's interesting. You know, what is it in particular, now that you bring that up, that causes you to throw your shoe in particular? What is it that's the hot-button issue for you that really annoys you the most?
The thing that I've got my sight focused on like a laser beam is the spending and the debt and the fact that right now out of every dollar that Washington, D.C. spends, 43 cents of it is borrowed. And the fact that if we continue to spend as we're spending right now, my kids and my grandkids, I have four grandkids, they're not going to have anything left. This country is only great when we do our part, and we're not doing our part right now. And there's too many people back in Washington, D.C. that think that the answer to our problems lies in some new stimulus package or, failed policies that are bailing out Wall Street and buying car companies. I could go on and on and on. But,
yeah.
The insanity has just gotten out of control. When I went back to Washington, D.C. back in 94, we had a $275 billion deficit. And I thought that was cataclysmic.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran with a pretty singular focus at that time, saying I wanted to go back and balance the budget
And
get the national debt under control. Now, we did that. Our team was the first to balance the federal budget in 40 years.
Yeah.
When I left, we had a federal budget, and we had a surplus. And now we have a $1.6 trillion deficit. And to help people understand that, a trillion is 1,000 billion. I mean, that is just beyond belief.
Let me ask you something on that, Matt, while we're on that. Yeah. No, we appreciate it. We're talking with Matt Salmon, who's running for Congress. What congressional district? Is it a one?
Well, no. It was one. After redistricting, it became six. And it looks like with the latest iteration of the redistricting commission, it'll now be District 5 because we pick up a new congressional district in the state, so we'll have 9 seats now. And so they're reconfiguring all the district numbers, and it looks as though it's going to be number 5.
So actually, let me be clear on that. So you'll be running for Congress in District 5, the new District 5?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's the district that currently Congressman Flake represents, and Congressman Flake has announced his intention to run for the Senate.
Yeah, we had him on the show, actually, for a full hour. He was a wonderful guest.
Right. And so with him leaving, my desire is to run for the seat. You know, when I left Congress, I actually called Jeff and asked him to run.
Yeah.
And I was the chairman of his campaign, and so now he's gone, and I believe that I need to get back into the fight.
Yeah.
Because, there's too many people back there that, just want to be called congressman. I don't care about that anymore. I've already got that title.
You've been there and done that.
Yeah, been there and done that. That's off my bucket list. I just want to go solve some problems and make sure that we get this mess fixed.
Well, I was going to ask you about the debt situation. Can it be fixed at this point? And if so, how?
I believe it can be fixed, but there's several things that have to be done. First of all, we have to build it into a surplus situation again when we're in black ink and not red ink. And I believe that in order to do that, we've got to make some very dramatic cuts. We can't do it with a scalpel. We got to take a meat cleaver. There can be no sacred cows. We've got to go in and make some fairly substantial cuts, and we've got to deal with entitlement reform. That's a fact. And I know there's going to be those that get up and squat. Wait, you're getting into the third rail of American politics. You can't talk about entitlement reform. Well, you know what? If we cut the entire
discretionary funding out of the federal budget, that's a trillion.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, the cuts, which nobody wants, of course. But, you know, what I've always thought is everybody focuses on cuts, which, of course, maybe you have to. But, I mean, isn't it a real issue that America's fallen down in terms of producing products and exporting products that people want?
Yes. I think that I think there's two issues, honestly, Dennis. I think that they go hand in hand. It is a chicken and an egg thing. The fact is, we are not going to get there without cutting spending. When you look at Standard & Poor's downgrading our credit rating, that makes the cost of borrowing money exponentially more expensive, and we'll never get there unless we cut the spending. One of the reasons that Standard & Poor's cut that credit rating or lowered that credit rating is because Washington doesn't have the stomach or backbone to do what has to be done, that is cut spending.
But clearly you're right. I mean, spending has to be cut. But that's given. But the thing is that when you cut the spending, I mean, that's not going to take down the prior debt. How do we get rid of that? The only way, it seems to me, is by pumping up this economy and doing something about it.
Yes. In fact, you hit the nail on the head.
So talk to us about that.
We do need to pump up the economy, and I have a recipe for that, too.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Two things. One is we have got to reduce all the burdensome regulation that is happening in this country. That's costing business about $1.7 trillion a year just to comply with federal regulation. When I talk about regulation so that most people can understand it up close and personal, it's dealing with the EPA. It's dealing with, the Department of the Interior. It's dealing with
just putting unnecessary restrictions. I agree with that.
Unnecessary restrictions. The other thing is our taxation policy is out of whack. We have the highest corporate income tax rate in the world, in the industrialized world. We're at 35%. And then we wonder why trillions of dollars worth of business goes offshore, goes overseas. You'd like to think it's all just cheap labor. That is not the truth. There are a lot of businesses that would come back to the United States if we had a reasonable corporate income tax rate, and I think reasonable is 20%.
And then don't you have to cut the tax on companies that are doing business abroad so that
– Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think – what do you think?
I'm also a free trader.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe the answer is to throw up big tariffs and make it impossible to bring imports. I'm a big free trader, and I think that the best thing that we can do – is just become more competitive, and it's not being more competitive doesn't mean that you shut out innovative ideas from other countries or products that they can do at a lesser cost. The answer is to make America more competitive. I think part of that too is in dealing with our union situation in this country. It's gotten out of control.
I think that
we have to work to fix Davis Bacon. I think that's a big problem. I also believe that we should get rid of the whole, investment tax or dealing with capital gains, that's ludicrous.
But
if we can't...
You got to incentivize business in some forms.
Exactly. I'm a big supply sider. Art Laffer
has been
a big supporter of mine.
I've heard him speak, actually.
He's wonderful. He's terrific. But I am a big supply sider alongside Ronald Reagan and JFK, who was the first guy to cut capital gains, first president to cut capital gains in this country.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to talk to you about, and we're going to take a break soon, but one of the things I do want to talk to you about some more when we come back is this whole issue of banks loaning money and how we get the banks to actually put out some of the money that we've helped bail them out on. So I know that's
Absolutely.
A big issue with you. And I want to, if you can hang on with us for another few minutes, we're going to turn to that when we come back from these commercial messages.
Arizona Wildcats football, only on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Shape Up U.S. joins Chandler's Day of Play for Shape Up to Live Fit, Saturday, October 22nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Tumbleweed Park in Chandler. This is the best health and wellness expo in Arizona, with mascot Olympics, tug of war with NFL alumni, and free flu shots for kids. To find out more about the entertainment, games, prizes, healthy sponsors, and fabulous free tastings, visit shapeupus.org. Come on out and shape up Arizona at Tumbleweed Park in Chandler. Admission is free. Saturday, October 22nd, visit shapeupus.org.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the five most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
My clients have personally called to thank me because they haven't lost any money in their annuities. In fact, many are earning nice returns right now. Hi, this is Steve Lance, author of Annuities, a 21st Century Pension Plan. If you're tired of stock market losses in your 401k or your investment accounts, my book is a roadmap on how to immediately stop the losses and quickly recover so you can enjoy the retirement you've planned for. You deserve some good news, so call me at 800-445-2516, 800-445-2516, or go to AskMrAnnuity.com and get your roadmap to retirement.
Your home for the Lou Dobbs Show. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, the voice of the Valley.
And this is Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese every week, 4 to 5, every Wednesday on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 on your dial. And this week, for our first half hour, we're talking with Matt Salmon, who's running for Congress. I guess it's going to be Congressional District 5. Anybody announced other than you, Matt, to run?
Nobody any good.
Well, I assume
that. I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun. No, yeah. there's three other people.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's going to be a race. You never take anything for granted. I feel good because most of the folks out in that district remember how I served and my record. And I think the other argument I'm making is, you know, if Obama has taught us anything, he taught us experience matters.
And that's for sure.
Exactly. And, you know, I do have experience back in the belly of the beast, and people know that I've got a spine of steel, and I'm not one of those that backs down even from my own party leaders when I believe my...
Speaking of which, while we're on that, before we come back to the banking issue, I wanted to ask you, my recollection is when you were in Congress, you had some, I guess, battles with Newt Gingrich, who at that time was the Speaker. So tell our listeners a little bit about that spine of steel.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was elected, we were kind of like the vanguard of the Republican Party. There was 11 of us that were considered the New York Times called us the bad boy Republicans. But it was guys like Steve Largent and Tom Coburn, who I'm sure a lot of folks have been following. He's like the Rock of Gibraltar in the Senate right now, you know, fighting against wasteful spending and,
right.
and idiotic regulations. But there were 11 of us, and we fought very, very hard to honor basically everything that we promised in the contract with America. We took it very, very seriously. Every one of those guys ended up honoring their term limit pledge, and then many of them went on to the Senate after working in the House. But these were good people that stood up with me to Gingrich when he wanted to basically violate, we thought, the principles that we had committed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that first year we were there, when we had the government shutdown back in 1995, it was on principle, and it was about dealing with a balanced budget and a balanced budget amendment. I don't know if people remember that clear back then.
Yeah.
And we were fighting hard, and then
too bad you didn't win that fight in the end, right? Because
exactly. Well, we ended up balancing the budget, but
yeah.
we should have gotten a balanced budget amendment. But you know, the government was shut down, and everybody was screaming and lots of noise, and Democrats were, you know, all over us saying that we were responsible. But then the public opinion started swinging our way, and our leadership went in and caved.
Yeah.
And a lot of us were frustrated with that. That wasn't what we signed up for.
Well, you know, when you think about it, really that would have made a major difference because of where we are right now versus then, right?
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you something. How do we get the banks? Because I do think that's a real critical component of this comeback. Without the banks lending money that they've got sitting there, And they're not compelled to lend, of course. But what do you think about that? How can we force these banks in some way to take the money that the government's bailed them out on and actually use that for something productive in the economy? It's almost impossible for people to get loans today.
I think one of the first things you do is scrap Dodd-Frank. You know, I do not believe in the heavy hand of regulation. And I don't think it was over-regulation that got us in trouble. Let's walk back down memory lane and talk about what got us into this big crisis in the first place where, you know, everybody was banking on the come with derivatives, and people were out there in line getting their no-doc loans and qualifying for homes they had no business qualifying
for. Yeah, that's
for.
True. That's true.
With tails on them, you know, 10 miles long. And then, you know, there was pressure, intense pressure, by the Pelosi crowd. Actually, it was by Barney Frank more than anybody to get Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to get out there and qualify people that had no business qualifying.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a political issue with them. And so,
but now, the reverse of that is nobody can get a loan.
Right, and they bailed the banks out, which to me was a mistake. I truly do believe that if we would have let a couple of those institutions fail, they did. They picked winners and losers because we all saw, you know, some of the ones that they let go by the wayside, that investment houses that went by the wayside. And, you know, America is strong. I think the best thing that we could have let happen is the free market prevail. I also believe that we have to take a serious look at all this meddling by the Federal Reserve in financial banking policy.
So what's the best way, in the time we have left, what's the best way to stimulate this economy if you get elected congressman again? What's one of the first priorities you have to get this economy moving? Other than getting rid of Obama, what else would you want to do?
Cut taxes, cut spending, and I've mentioned a few of the taxes that I'd be looking at, but cut taxes, cut spending, and reduce dramatically regulation. And basically take an attitude in this country, finally, that business is the goose that laid the golden egg, and we want jobs in this economy. I just came back from a trip.
Yeah, I meant to ask you about that. We had the governor on last week, by the way, talking,
right,
as well as the head of the Chamber of Commerce about that trip. It's fascinating. So tell us your take on that.
Well, what's fascinating is that you have businesses over there that are deciding to build large manufacturing facilities, And they're basically you know, doing it from, I apologize, they're doing it from cradle to grave in 6 months. They're basically you know, deciding they want to build a manufacturing facility, building it, and it's up in 6 months. That would never happen in this country.
So, what do you think in terms of the future for China? Does it look rosy to you?
Well, their growth rate right now is national growth rate is 7%. Ours is at 1.8, and they think that's a lousy year.
Yeah.
Their average growth over the last 5 years has been right around 10 to 11%, and frankly, they are opening all the gateways for business. They're providing tax relief for businesses to locate there. They're providing expedited permitting processes. Doing everything they can to try to help business to thrive.
I mean, you know, stop right there. I mean, isn't that pretty obvious that that's what the kinds of things this country should be doing, but isn't?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's sickening.
I had two interns when we bailed out General Motors and basically took ownership. In fact, not calling it General Motors, but Government Motors. I had two Chinese interns in my office from China. Came in and said, "We don't understand it, Mr. Salmon. Why in China we're moving away from state-owned enterprise as fast as we possibly can, and you guys are moving toward it?" And my answer was simple. I just said, "I think you guys must have a more conservative president than we do."
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's where it has to start, I guess. But even with him in office, there should be something going on, despite him, where there's a movement afoot. Speaking of which, we're going to have on the second half of the show, I just want to get your take on this. I know you have to run. But we're going to have on the show someone from New York who's with this Occupy, whatever, Wall Street. Today I was walking downtown and saw them occupying Phoenix, I guess. But what is your feeling about that organization, and does that not represent, I guess, the frustration that we've got in this country, obviously?
I think that they're totally off the mark. You know, most people in this country that want to better themselves do it in a couple of ways. That is, get a better education, work hard, come up with ideas, you know, do everything you can to make a better life for yourself, because there are really no impediments in America. You can come up with a great idea and a little hard work and a lot of sweat equity, and you can basically accomplish anything still you want in this country. And I think that they are totally misguided. They have come up with this notion that, you know, we need to bring Robin Hood back to life and rob from the rich and give to the poor. And honestly,
sounds like Obama.
It does sound like Obama. and honestly, I've never gotten a job from a poor guy. You know, and we ought to be doing everything we can to prop up business, because those people are the ones that are creating jobs. And I know it's tough, and I don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their alternative is. I'm not sure what their alternative is to any of this.
Yeah, I mean, the alternative is they all want something for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I hear these people say. First of all, they didn't know what they wanted, and then you know, as they started coming out and saying, you know, like the Miss America answer, we want world peace. You know, that's all fine and good, but you know what? The answer isn't to lobby your government to rob from people and then give it to you because you're a nice guy. Why don't you get out and earn it? Because I've taught my children that a job is not a right. It is a privilege that you earn every day.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find the answers to that question out, or those questions, when we talk to this guy but in a few minutes. But one last question for you. Did you watch the Republican debate in Las Vegas, and who are you rooting for?
You know, I did not watch the Republican debate because I had to speak at a function last night, but I'll tell you right now that I'm really, really torn. Between two candidates, I'm really, really torn between Herman Cain and Mitt Romney.
Interesting. All right. Well, we appreciate your being on the show. We've been talking with Matt Salmon, who's running for Congress. And good luck to you, Matt. We'll hopefully follow you and keep in touch.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. Dozens of wild animals were shot dead after escaping an exotic preserve in Ohio yesterday. Columbus Zoo Director Emeritus Jack Hanna tells CNN, unfortunately, authorities really had no other choice.
Am I upset? Of course I'm upset. I mean, we lost 18 Bengal tigers, lions, and all this other thing. But what do we do? Have human life versus animal life. You know, and right now we have to take care of humans. And, of course, now we've lost our precious animals here because of what happened up here.
Some animal activists are calling the killing unforgivable. The World Series gets underway tonight. The St. Louis Cardinals host the Texas Rangers in Game 1. Temperatures at Busch Stadium will be in the 40s. A new report from the group Transportation for America finds more than 18,000 of the busiest bridges in the nation are structurally deficient. And GOP presidential candidate Rick Perry says his economic plan will include a flat tax. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, $11,000 is the reward being offered for information that helps find 5-year-old Jessie Shockley, the Glendale girl who disappeared last week.
This is a 5-year-old little girl, and that's all that's on the minds of our investigators and the support personnel that are trying to find her.
Damage, $20,000. Fire destroys a Tucson mobile home.
We had a 4-year-old that was playing with a lighter in his closet, in his bedroom area near the closet, when he accidentally started a fire.
An ICE officer arrested on drug smuggling charges following a high-speed chase in the desert.
It doesn't matter what the profession is, and we look at it as any other drug smuggler, because that's what he was doing. He was smuggling drugs.
Maricopa County Sheriff's deputies arrest 8 more illegal aliens on human smuggling charges.
The occupants of the vehicle had paid between $1,000 and $3,500 to be smuggled into the U.S.
And the jury now has the case in the Baseline Killer case. George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is brought to you by your Chevy dealers. Look for an injury accident at 19th Avenue north of Bell. We also do have a collision 59th Avenue south of the 101 that is in the clearing stages. And look for an injury accident 7th Street at Bethany Home Road. Why get a Silverado during the Chevy season of doing? Because it's the truck that can do it all, no matter who you are or what's on your to-do list. Get to your Chevy dealer today and get your truck and drive it away. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Pressing toward the weekend and some cooler weather. Mid-90s again for tomorrow, but then Friday into the weekend, we're low 90s. Overnight lows, mid-50s outlying areas, mid-60s here in town. Sunny and dry. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently we're 96 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan? Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. eLoan Choice has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are at all-time lows, and that means lower interest and lower payments for you. Lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting, even one day, could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time home buyers, call eLoan Choice now. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that's the best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible and discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Rates may never be this low again in your lifetime, so don't miss out. Call 800-917-3794. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794.
Crazy Coyote Activities and Tours makes planning your Arizona vacation a snap. Let our experts custom design your next trip to Sedona, Scottsdale, or the Grand Canyon. We have it all, resorts, activities, and tours. So call Crazy Coyote Activities and Tours and plan your getaway today. Call 877-444-8044. That's 877-444-8044. Make your next vacation a crazy one. Call today, 877-444-8044.
Stay connected to all things KFNX. Log on now at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Willinchek back on Legalese, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And we were just talking with former congressman and probably future congressman again, Matt Salmon, running in the congressional district number 5 that's being redistricted now. And I did want to point out to our listeners that starting today, I think, we will be leading into the Michael Savage show. In the past, we led into Lou Dobbs, who I guess has been redistricted himself at some point here into another time slot. Michael Savage, as you know, was on another station and then has seen the light and come back to this station. He's on national radio, so I look forward to hearing him at the end of our show. In the meantime, we have with us a guest named Mark Bray, who's a member of the Occupy Wall Street press team. And, Mark, are you with us on the line now?
Yes. Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And my understanding is, Mark, you are from New York. Is that correct?
Actually from New Jersey, but right nearby, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to confuse those two. they take that seriously back there, I guess. Hey, you are a student. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a PhD student at Rutgers in New Jersey.
Okay, well, yeah, the State University of New Jersey, Rutgers, right?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, tell us then, it's my understanding that you are a member of the Occupy Wall Street team.
That's right.
Tell our listening audience, it's hard for people here in Arizona to really get a grip on this because, as I said earlier, I was walking downtown, I see a bunch of people parking out basically in Cesar Chavez Park. And the message was unclear. It was very different people there saying different things, and it was like a cacophony it was like a Tower of Babel, frankly. I didn't understand quite what the message was. So why don't you tell our listeners exactly what Occupy Wall Street is and if it's affiliated with the Occupy Phoenix movement and why you're involved in it?
Sure. Well, you know, although we do have a wide variety of political perspectives, as you referred to, we have people who are liberals, people who are libertarians. We have a wide variety of political perspectives. But what brings us together fundamentally is that we want, you know, a world where working families don't lose their homes, don't lose their jobs, simply because Wall Street speculators gamble on properties. You know, we want access to education, access to health care. We want to prioritize the needs of working people over the profits of these small number of financial institutions. The variety that you referred to is how we get there and exactly what that would look like when it happens. But basically what we're trying to do is start that national conversation and reorganize the priorities of our society.
Okay, well, you know, that sounds very noble to me listening to it. We just had on
right.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you – it's like, you know, mom and American apple pie. I mean, it's hard to be against what you're saying there, obviously. But, you know, we just had on Congressman Salmon, Matt Salmon, former congressman, who was basically saying that his understanding of the movement – and that, frankly, has been my understanding – is sort of an anti-movement. It's sort of against things and not for things. And what they're against, it appears, are sort of what we would call the American dream. So is that your understanding, or are we misunderstanding you?
Well, I think we're definitely for the things that I mentioned, you know, for a job economy, for society that provides, you know, housing that isn't subject to the thing is that we're not opposed to people working and earning things. Right, that's important to get out there. This is not an anti-capitalist movement. What we're saying is that if someone works at their job, you know, they do their 8 hours a day, 40-hour week, they shouldn't lose their house or lose their job simply because someone far away in an office decides to gamble on some properties. You know, what we've seen happening with Wall Street it affects so many people, and it's just not fair.
Well, you know, I've got here a declaration of the occupation of New York City in my hand, which was
go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, accepted by the New York City. It says General Assembly, whatever that is.
Right.
And it says, as we gather together in solidarity to express a feeling of mass injustice, we must not lose sight of what brought us together. We write so that all people who feel wronged by the corporate forces of the world can know that we are your allies. And, you know, I have to say, at first blush, that sounds kind of like a socialist or communist kind of statement, but you're telling us now that you're not an enemy of the corporate world. It's just the greed that has overtaken the corporate world. But isn't that part of the corporate world? I mean, isn't the motivation to make money, you know, part of that system?
Right. Well, the question is, how can we have a world where people work, where they innovate, where they have new ideas about how to make new products and create the things that we need, and people also have enough money to buy them? So it's great, for example, that you know, Apple Computers comes out with these nice new computers, but if working people who work at Walmart or something make such a low wage that they can't afford to buy them, then there's a problem here. We need to have access to these great things that our economy can produce. Otherwise, you know, what are we doing?
You
know,
yeah, but don't you think most people in this country really do have a higher standard of living in that regard than most places really around the world still? I mean, people have
their... Well, see, that's the point. The point is that we have the most powerful economy. We are probably one of the most, you know, powerful civilizations in all of history. So why can't we spread this around so that all people can have access to the American dream? That's basically what we're talking about, because especially recently we've seen with a down in the economy that the Wall Street financial institutions are still pretty much doing their same thing. On the other hand, working families are suffering. That's the dichotomy we're trying to emphasize.
Well, let's talk about that. Because I want to be specific before we're done for the hour. I mean, what exactly or specifically is Wall Street, quote unquote? Because I hate those kind of things where people just denominate everybody on Wall Street as Wall Street. I mean, obviously that's obvious that people who work on Wall Street work there, but it's really meant to be more than just a location. It's meant as a comment.
Right. It's a symbol.
A
right?
symbol.
It's a symbol for corporations and financial institutions,
right.
large banks.
And there's good and bad, as we both know, and there's good and bad in everything, including corporations. There are corporations, obviously, that have the goal to make a profit, which is part of the deal, and they provide for people in their corporations. So who specifically are we talking about now so we can not you know, shotgun this but rifle shot it, that your group, if you will, is angry about? I mean, is it specifically people that are making large bonuses on Wall Street? Is that who the target here is?
Well, you know, to some extent, as you said, it depends on who you ask. But to talk about it more generally, yes, the bonuses is a great example. Another example that has come up a lot is the issue of regulation and how much these institutions are held accountable for their mistakes, what kinds of rules are implemented to make sure they follow ethical procedures of banking. These are some very popular concerns. And the other thing is, fundamentally, we're concerned that the politicians are more concerned about responding to these corporate interests, especially since they receive so many bonuses and donations from them, than they are concerned about working families.
Well, yeah. I mean, but aren't you really saying there, I mean, just to conceptualize this a little bit more. Aren't you really saying there that you're really trying to be the arbiter of what corporations should do with their money as opposed to the corporation itself, which really is a form of and I'm not saying it's a dirty word, but it's a form of communism in many ways, because you're really talking about regulation.
Well, I would agree with that characterization.
Well, but aren't you really talking about regulation here of other people's money?
Well, the thing is, the government as it stands regulates things, right? The United States government regulates all sorts of things and has for, you know, more than 100 years. We're not asking for anything different from that. We're just asking for...
Yeah, but what's the purpose of regulation? We have to talk about what the purpose of regulation is. It's not necessarily to redirect other people's money to other to folks that want it. The purpose of regulation, theoretically, is to avoid criminal activity or activity that's simply beyond the pale. Paying someone a high bonus may not be acceptable to a lot of people, but it's certainly not illegal.
Well, the question is, how do we make laws, right? And the laws are made with the fact that the legislature and the Congress and various politicians in the country receive a lot of their financial support from the corporations. It's not a surprise that it turns out that the laws that are made allow all these loopholes for these corporations to do things that end up hurting a lot of working people.
Well, but we've got about a minute left, but that can be dealt with respect to what you're addressing now, because there are laws on the books, as you know, that deal with limitations on corporations. Of course, the Supreme Court has changed a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But you know, that can be dealt with legally, certainly, in terms of evening out the playing field, if you will. But what else specifically are you looking for in addressing that wouldn't be characterized as just going to communism, as I see it?
Well, you see, we're not looking for a society where there's central planning of the economy. I mean, that's what communism is. It's when there's a small group of bureaucrats who determine where resources go. We don't want a small hierarchy running the country. We're looking for a more democratic participation in how resources are allocated.
You want a highly unionized society, then, right?
What do you mean by unionized?
Well, that's a broad-based democracy, one could describe it as, of unions controlling or having input into corporate decision-making.
Well, not necessarily unions, but not excluding unions. Certainly unions, community organizations, you know, any sort of local democratic base. That's what we're pushing for in our General Assembly, to have more local democratic control.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Mark Bray, and we'll continue to talk to him throughout the remainder of the hour on Legalese. This is Dennis Wilenchek, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, and we'll be talking about this new movement afoot, Occupy Wall Street, and here, Occupy Phoenix, I guess.
Sean McCaffrey, host of Conservatives Lead, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Decision makers, newsbreakers, and everything right. No liberals allowed. Brought to you by the Conservative Leadership Coalition. Conservatives Lead, every Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
HomeSuiteIncome7.com, the powerful work-at-home opportunity that creates amazing before and after stories.
Before, I was an overworked, stressed-out single mom, working a lot of hours, never time for my daughter, never time to cook. My days off, I spent running errands, you know, grocery shopping, laundry, all that kind of stuff. It was very difficult.
Then Cindy discovered HomeSuiteIncome7.com.
Now, I'm home with my daughter. I control my own time. We live an incredible life. I miss nothing in her life. Every recital, every field trip, every single week I volunteer in her class, so I know her classmates well. And we live in a beautiful home. She's got horses, and, you know, it's my dream.
Earn like a CEO from home. Turn your commute time from 2 hours to 20 steps. Log on for free information at HomeSuiteIncome7.com. It could change your life.
It's my dream job.
HomeSuiteIncome7.com. That's HomeSuiteIncome7.com.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5. here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And this week we've had on Matt Salmon, former congressman, and now we're speaking with Mark Bray, a member of the Occupy Wall Street press team. Mark, let me ask you, is that a paid position or is that something you're volunteering?
No, we're all volunteers. Every member of the movement is a volunteer.
Is this an organic type movement in terms of its growth, or is somebody funding this movement?
No, all the donations we get are from small donors, people swinging by to drop in a $5 bill, a $10 bill, donations on the Internet. Also, we get a lot of packages with, like, food and clothing mailed to us.
So how did this movement start? I mean, it's taken hold elsewhere, but it started in New York. But how did it start?
Well, you know, people were influenced by movements in the Middle East and in Egypt, the idea of creating sort of a demonstration in a public square, focusing on a public place that people could come together and democratically voice their concerns and their issues and their aspirations for democracy. And so people had the idea, given the frustration and the anger that's been directed at the problems with the economy and the unaccountability of a lot of corporations, as we discussed before, to have a similar sort of protest. And, you know, honestly, initially I was
We hope we don't replicate what happened in Egypt. I mean, it's gone from bad to worse, I think.
Sure, it has. But then again, they did overthrow a dictator. You know, I mean, social change is tough. It's not easy. I mean, we saw the United States, that to create the United States, it had to be through a war. You know, it's hard.
Well, let me ask you in that regard. Do the people – somebody made a comment to me, for example, the other day about this movement. You know, and again, there may be a lot of ignorance about it, but somebody's point was that, you know, a lot of people who are part of this movement are Democrats and may be opposed to Obama. Is that something you've sensed as part of this movement?
Yes. I do think that – well, I mean, if you look at the polls, we have higher favorability among Democrats than Republicans. Overall, we have about 54% support nationally, 67% support in New York City. And among the Democrats that have joined the movement, some simply want to sort of push Obama to be more how they want him to be, but I think plenty also are just fed up with him and fed up with the sort of Democrat-Republican way of doing things and want to have an independent social movement.
So is this a movement then for an independent party type thing or what?
No, I mean, the idea is that the traditional way of going about doing politics simply hasn't gotten the job done. You know, normally if you have a problem, you write a letter to a congressperson or you join a political party. But the question that we're trying to ask is, if the needs of working Americans aren't met through this process, what's an alternative way of raising our voice? And we have created an alternative way of raising our voice, whether you agree with what we're saying or not. We certainly are getting our message out there.
You know, the problem I'm having is I recognize that probably a lot of the economic advantage presently is going to probably 1% or less of the population. I think that's been documented, and that sounds bad. But on the other hand, when you look at it, you know, you could make an argument that that 1%, has put their nose to the grindstone and done the work to achieve the benefit of that, and that sometimes it's not so bad. There's examples of corporate greed, but there's also examples of great people who have helped a lot of other people, too, along the way and created jobs for other people.
Well,
Steve Jobs being one of those people that I think we probably should try to emulate and create in this country more of. So I guess I'm a little unclear on what exactly, I come back to the beginning, this movement is trying to accomplish on a practical level.
Sure. Well, for example, last year, statistics show that 1 in 6 children in the United States lived in poverty. You know, so let's just take that for example. That needs to be a priority, we think. You know, that needs to be treated as a crisis. So how can we get it so that these children are not living in poverty? Now, part of that has to do with the fact that these corporations are prioritizing their profits over working conditions. You know, we need to have these working families have sufficient wages to get by, not get foreclosed because Wall Street bankers speculate on properties. You know, the priorities need to be overhauled. There is a serious problem, and whether we can do that by, taxing the rich more or not, it has to be done.
So that's what I'm trying to get to. What exactly is it that needs to be done? I mean, there's a lot in what you say, and I'm trying to understand what exactly this group is trying to specifically accomplish.
Sure.
Are you trying to change the laws? Are you trying to change the president? Are you trying to change our entire system of government?
The first thing to know is that we've only been around for 1 month, right? We started September 17th. Now, yesterday, we had our one-month anniversary, I think it was.
Who started this movement? Can you tell me was there one figurehead that sort of started the whole thing?
No, there wasn't one figurehead. There was a small group of people, activists in New York, who said, you know, been planning it over the summer, and they said, well, why don't we set up a demonstration by Wall Street?
And who are these people, I guess? Who are these people?
Well, I mean, I know a bunch of them. They're people that are still active in what we're doing now. I mean, they come from different backgrounds, but, you know, predominantly sort of activist young people. I mean, that's, those are the people that started it, but from then it's diversified out. We have people of all generations and backgrounds. We have union support. We have community support. So it's grown from that.
So is,
but,
there,
you know,
is,
the
there
idea
is there a nominal head of this group or somebody who's
no,
the spokesman?
No, we operate on along a directly democratic basis. We have people who participate in different committees that organize it, and we have a general assembly that makes decisions as a collective.
Hmm. What happens when you disagree?
Well, we have a process where if you disagree, then we discuss it, and we have to reach a 90% vote in order to pass something.
So all votes require 90%?
Or more. Yeah.
Hmm.
For the big group decisions, the smaller working committees that deal with moment to moment issues make decisions on their own basis.
Where do you see this thing headed? I mean, it's true, it's only been a month. It's probably amorphous right now to some extent. But where do you
right.
think this is going to head?
Right. Well, I raised the issue of it being around for a month to emphasize that, you know, I'm a history student, right? So I like to look at things in large historical terms. And any significant movement you can point to in history has taken a long time to even necessarily find what direction it's going to head in. So I urge people to focus on the fact that what we're trying to do, at least in the short term, is get the issue, the conversation going about what our national priorities should be and how they should be fulfilled and the relationship between these corporations and our politicians who we think are not really prioritizing our interests, they're prioritizing the corporation. So we've accomplished that, right? We've gotten that message out there. Where we head from here depends on how people in Phoenix and people in Los Angeles and Chicago and New York and wherever else take it. If people think this is a good way to address their grievances, a good way to participate democratically, they'll continue to do it. They'll see where it takes them. If it doesn't, then it'll end and we'll do something else.
Well, you know, it seems to me, I mean, I'm reminded sort of, like I said earlier, of the protests against the Tsar. I mean, nobody gave them a snowball's chance when they started protesting. And, you know, with the guards of the Tsar and the special forces that he had and shooting people in the streets and stuff, it looked pretty pretty dismal for anybody trying to challenge the Tsar in his huge palatial palaces. But, you know, it is amazing what a group of people can do, as we've seen in our own revolution originally. And there's nothing sacrosanct about our system, I suppose. You know, a revolution can occur anywhere at any time. But
well, as it says, you know, that the idea of the original founders was that if the government became a problem, it could be changed. And so we shouldn't necessarily think that changing things is a problem. But we're not seeking a revolution. We're not seeking any sort of violence. We're a nonviolent movement. We're trying to create a social movement in the tradition of the civil rights movement to address our concerns democratically. And if people pick them up, they pick them up. If they don't, then that's their prerogative.
So it's sort of just I'm trying to get my arms around it. It's sort of a social movement that is doesn't have any specific, you know, objective in terms of removing someone from office, as most of these kinds of things in the past historically have had as their basis.
Well, our perspective is that traditionally in politics, politicians in their small rooms will come up with a few agenda items and then try to convince people to follow them along. And instead, we're trying to reverse the order of politics and say, well, let's maybe question our priorities and our methods. Let's get people involved on a local level. Let's see what they have to say and then take it from there. So if we were to sort of define the content of the conversation before it ended, I mean, before it started, then, you know, it would be over before it started. We want to get people involved and hear what they have to say.
Let me ask you this about the obviously the Tea Party movement is another sort of grassroots movement.
Sure.
I assume that you're not affiliated with them in any way. Is that
no,
right?
No, we're not, although we do have some current and former Tea Party people who have come to our event.
So, in other words, a lot of people in both movements. Because in some ways they have similar ideals, I suppose, correct?
There are similarities. I mean, they both were born out of sort of a populist frustration with the unaccountability of government and the desire to reform things. But, you know, the difference sort of ends there because they are a political party. They put people in office. And I think ultimately their goal is to really try and push the Republican Party to be more like how they want them to be. Whereas we're not focusing on a specific party, certainly not focusing on the Democrats. We're sort of saying that we want to be nonpartisan and in a certain sense non-political in a strict sense. Instead, we want to bring people in and sort of take things afresh, invite people of all political perspectives to share what they have to say.
Let me ask you this. We've got about 2 minutes left before Michael Savage comes on, and you're lucky you have me instead of him, I think. But let me ask you something. What would be your group's wish list, if you will, in the time we have left? What would it be that you think would be the ideal scenario if you could, you know, wish it to happen tomorrow?
Well, of course, it depends on who you ask, but I think the kind of things that unite us would be, you know, reasonable access to education and healthcare, jobs for people who are able to work, houses for people who need to live in them, and the priority of making sure that we abolish poverty, that we have a decent standard of living for all Americans before corporations gamble away, speculate away, and invest overseas.
You think that's ever going to happen, where we literally abolish poverty?
Well, I will say, as a historian, that capitalism has only been around for about 200, 250 years. And prior to that, thousands of years, we had a different economic system. So to think that things won't ever be different.
Yeah,
in the
and
future,
we had, and let me say this, we had a lot of poverty, too, in those thousands of years. All right, well, Michael.
We did, but things could get better.
All right, Mark, you know, we have to run, and Michael Savage is going to be on soon after the news, ladies and gentlemen. This is his first day back. So we hope you have a good time with him, and we appreciate our guests, Mark Bray and former Congressman Matt Sam, be on the show. We'll be back next Wednesday on KFNX. News Talk Radio 1100. This is Dennis Wolinchek signing off.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com?
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 Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Guess it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Cave Creek, Phoenix. The home of Lou Dobbs. Weekdays at 1 p.m. on KFNX.